all stand together.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Oh, I praise you.
Let's get around and welcome each other.
Majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll see. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Oh, I praise you.
How's everyone doing this morning? You guys awake? You ready to worship? Let's sing, I Will Worship You.
I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you.
Come on, let's lift it up this morning.
We will worship you. Heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Oh, I praise you.
seated.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I just want to remind you today that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. So my prayer is that we would draw near to God in our hearts together this morning. I have a couple announcements for you. There is a congregational meeting following worship today. If you are a church member, please plan to just stay a few minutes. We're going to be discussing business. Later on this afternoon, actually in Uniontown at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a marriage parade. Another local pastor actually got this together, and it's just to promote traditional marriage, to promote and encourage that institution of God, and that's really awesome that somebody is allowed to do that in Uniontown, so I hope that we would go out and just support a little bit. Actually, if you want to be a part of it, you can arrive at the courthouse early, so that's an option too. There typically has been choir practice on Sunday afternoons for our Christmas presentation. That is not today, but it will resume next Sunday at 1:30. Also next week, we're going to have a leadership meeting on Sunday following the worship service. There'll be a pizza lunch. Again, leadership meeting is for anyone involved in any type of leadership in the church. And later on this month, on November 18th, Pastor Ron is going to be having a bus monitor training. And this is for anyone that's interested in the unique ministry opportunity of being on the bus with the kids to and from services. And he's just going to be equipping you with the tools you'll need to be an effective bus monitor. And that person makes the bus ride to and from church fun and memorable, and just kind of he lets you know what you can do to kind of prepare the kids' hearts for what God has for them. So I hope that you guys have a great day, and I'll see you at the congregational meeting. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you so much, Meg. Let's all stand together. You're singing this morning with 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Bless time has come. And still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Yes, the Lord, oh my soul. Soul. I worship His holy name. I sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship His holy name. Worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Amen. You guys like that song yet?
Yeah,
isn't that great? This one's called Hope of the World, and I know you guys know this one too, so let's sing it out. Christ of freedom. Let the whole earth see, hear the praises rising. We stand in awe of what You've done for us. At the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know You forever, to love You forever. You are everything. Our sin erased, we're forgiven. You made a way, You are ransomed. This life for all You've done for us. At the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know You forever, to love You forever. You are everything. The hope of the world on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know You forever, to love You forever. You are everything, and all we need is You. All we need is You.
to love you forever. You are everything. The hope of the world, lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide. To know you forever, to love you forever. You are everything. To know you forever, to love you forever. You are everything. To know you forever, to love you forever. You are everything.
Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for being our everything. We think that Colossians says that by you all things consist, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning that we would focus on you, Lord, that we put you first and foremost in our hearts and our minds and our lives this morning. Lord, pray that if there's someone here that's visiting us this morning, Lord, for the first time, they would feel welcome in this place. They would know that we love them and that you love them, Lord. Pray you speak to our hearts through your word. Challenge us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Your voice as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the One True God. From always lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all, for Jesus Christ is here. Found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest. Hear the One who loves, He will light the way, He will lead us home as we are. Lord over all, He is good, and His mercy endures always. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our. As we offer all.
His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever. His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever.
Come on, let's sing it out.
His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever. We sing His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever. We have found our hope. We have found our peace. We have found our rest. Hear the one who loves. He will light the way. He will lead us home as we offer all to the one who saves us all.
Sitting for the reading of God's Word.
God is good. Please open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 12. Psalm 12 is David's model of how to pass a spiritual hearing test. Got two kinds of speech out there, depraved speech and divine speech. Need to learn to listen to the divine speech and ignore the depraved speech. Verse 6 in this chapter is just a fantastic verse. It's for you, because 6 is the number of man. Verse 6 is for you. It talks about purity. Jesus Christ, the most pure thing ever, is the Word of God. This is pure. This is something you can count on. This is something you can live by and succeed by. So listen to the divine speech of God. As we read Psalm 12, I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from their generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Father God, we thank you for your word, for your son Jesus Christ, being something pure, something we can go to, something that is stain-free, absolutely no faults, no defects, perfect, Lord, and we thank you for preserving that for us, and we thank you for our country where we can freely preach the word of God, where your word can come to us from any angle. Lord, we are just such a blessed nation. We thank you for that. We thank you for this song that points that out to us, Lord, that shows us that your word is so important to us, that it's the thing that we need to hold dear to us daily so that we can stay on track, Lord, that we can follow the path that you want us to follow. Lord, when we go our own way, it just is always the wrong way. So, Lord, thank you for preserving this for us. Lord, we know that you're perfect, so we bring our petitions to you because you're the only one that can answer them, Lord. We pray for Tone that's in McGee Hospital, Lord, and it seems she's going to be there until the baby's born. The baby's increasing in strength and has a chance now, as I understand. So, Lord, we put that little baby, Serenity, Autumn, Rainier is her name, Lord. She's 24 weeks after conception now, and, Lord, we trust that you're going to keep her safe and keep her growing, keep her healthy, Lord, until she's born. We put her in your hands. Lord, for Roger Markley, tomorrow is going to have an operation on his carotid artery, and then a week from tomorrow is going to have the operation on his other carotid artery. Lord, we put everything that's going on there in your hands, Lord. The surgeons and every individual that cares for him, Lord, we put them all in your hands so that you can direct every movement and every thought that is going on during that surgery. Lord, we ask you to bring him through that surgery healthy and safe and strong. Lord, for Tina Black, her father has lung cancer, Lord, we ask comfort in her life, but Lord, we also ask a comfort in her dad's life, that you would give him peace. Lord, if he doesn't know your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask you to bring somebody into his life that would show him who Jesus Christ is and that he can have eternity with him, Lord. But also, we know that you're a healer, Lord. You are the great healer. You can take that lung cancer and do away with it. But Lord, we ask that your will be done in his life. We ask that you comfort Tina. And Lord, for Linda Everly that's having pain and going to have a doctor's visit coming very shortly and potential surgery, Lord, we ask the comfort in her life, Lord, to totally put it in your hands and trust in you, Lord, because we know that you will do that. We've seen that in her husband's life. You've taken his life, Lord, and you've kept him for 6 or 7 years here after he's been diagnosed with cancer, Lord. You've made him free from that cancer, Lord. We ask you to do the same for Linda. Comfort her, give her total trust in you, and Lord, bring her through this trial in her life better on the other side. And Lord, we have a praise this morning. The lady we've been praying for that has stage 4 cancer for the past few weeks, Pam is her name. She was able to get her cancer treatment this week, and Lord, had no ill effects on her, Lord, so, and she's feeling good. So, Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the thank you, Lord, for giving her a boost in morale and spirit, Lord. We ask you to continue that, and we give you the praise. Lord, also we ask you just teach us today as we hear from you, as we hear from your word, your pure word. Lord, we ask you to change our hearts, change our lives forever. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I felt the Holy Spirit moving this morning. Did you? That's awesome. Hey, a couple of announcements before I begin. Business meeting following the service today, so make sure that if you're a member of the church, you're going to want to stay because we have some information for you, so make sure you stick around. Also, again, thank you very much for supporting the bus ministry, for giving of your finances to get us some tires. And today I went out to try to start it. We got it inspected. It's all ready to go. And I went out this morning, been driving it all week long and stuff. And actually, we had a great time on Wednesday. We had about 30 people come out Wednesday, and we had a reverse trigger treat, and it was awesome. We took out bags to the families, and we just had a great time. And we came back here and had some hot dogs and some soft drinks and things like that. So it was really a great time. But anyway, this morning I get in the bus and the batteries are dead. So just a little discouraged, but not too much. So went and picked up the kids. We had a van full again, so which was pretty awesome. Then I get back here and look at the mail, and a local church that Ron had been talking with the pastor up at Faith Assembly. And we get together as pastors periodically, and we pray. Once a month, we all get together and we pray for each of our churches, and we pray for Fayette County and as a whole in Uniontown. And afterwards, he and Ron went out, the pastor from Faith Assembly went out to have a cup of coffee, and he said, you know what, God has laid on my heart that we need to help you. How can we help you? And Ron said, hey, you know, we need about $700 to get our bus running. I opened the mail this morning and there's a check. It's pretty awesome, huh? Amen. That's the way the church is supposed to work. And we need to remember those times. Because we're not going to always be in need financially. And then when someone comes to us, we need to be there for them to pass that down. So, anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you because that was a real, you know, touched my heart tremendously this morning. Another thing is make sure you get out and vote this Tuesday. Make sure it's your privilege to do that, it's your right to do that. Make sure you exercise your Christian right. Go out and you vote. Vote. Don't care who you vote for. You vote what the Bible says, okay? You all know what the Bible says about marriage, about abortion and things like that. You know what the Bible says. So you vote the Bible. All right? It's your Christian duty. Make sure you get out there and vote. Let's see, the other thing is, I think that's it. There's some voter guides back there too. So Tuesday, make sure you all get out and vote. All right, well, today is our final day with the conclusion Oh, yes, forgot about the calendar party. How could I forget about the calendar party? Yesterday we had a calendar party. And it was very well done. Very well done, Nancy. And everybody that pitched in and helped you. I mean, there were a lot of people that have done that, and I really appreciate all your efforts. We had a great turnout, and there was, after expenses, it was like about $70 short of $7,000. And that all goes, every penny of it goes to Haiti. Goes to Haiti to help them in the ministry down there, the orphanage. So really, if you came out last night, I really appreciate it. There's some orphans still needing adopted, right? Okay. So for $10 a month, if you'd like to put an orphan through school, It's really cheap, $10 a month. Can't do that very many places, can you, to put a child through school. If you want to, see Nancy, and there's some pictures actually out on the in the foyer there. You'll see some pictures of some Haitian children. And all you do is, you know, either give $120 all at one time or give $10 a month, and that money will go to support a child in Haiti, get them through school. It gives them their paperwork and their books and everything else. So it's a worthy cause, and there are some more children back there if you'd like to donate. So anyway, I think that's it, right? Did I forget anything? All right. Well, okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about, it'll be the last one, Lord, change my attitude before it's too late. And I'm sure that many of us have had attitude adjustments throughout this whole process. I know I have. I know I've asked for forgiveness. I know I've asked for God, I repent of all the things that that I do. And so we looked at five attitudes that can keep us out in the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is a place where none of us really want to be, right? It's a dry, thirsty place that there's no food, and it's hot, and you know, it's just a bad place. I wouldn't want to be walking around. It's like, you know, one thing's being on a beach, you know, walking through the sand, and you know you're going to get off of that pretty soon. And it's another thing to be out on that hot desert sand and just being out in the wilderness and just being parched, and your lips are all dried up. You've seen the movies, right? You've seen them where they're just like, they start to imagine there's an oasis, and, you know, and they're going towards it and everything, and they're all parched. But those five attitudes, we looked at five attitudes that would keep us in the wilderness, and then we looked at five attitudes that would get us out of the wilderness into the promised land. And they are murmuring or complaining. You remember that, right? It's to complain and to murmur. And you want to replace that with a thankfulness attitude, right? Be thankful for what we have instead of, you know, always complaining about the stuff. And you know what? I learned a lot from that, and I repented of that. Not totally out of complaining mode yet, but, you know, and I know many of you are still in that mode, too, of complaining. The next one is covetous, a covetous attitude. You know, I've really been tested in that area a lot, and I have explained that to you back in when we did it. It was the second bad attitude, and replace that with a contentment attitude, just to be content where God has placed you, and which is pretty awesome, because if you have a covetous attitude, you say, you know what, God, I really don't appreciate where you have me. You know, what you are is not enough. What you have given me is not enough. And we need to have that, replace that with a contentment attitude. And the other one is having a critical spirit, and you replace that critical spirit by a spirit of love. And then the next one was doubting. Replace it with faith. And the last one we looked at was rebellious, a rebellious heart and a rebellious attitude, and we replace that with a heart of submission. And we saw that our attitudes are everything. They really are. They are everything. And they are a choice. Attitude is everything. And it is a choice. And I want to tell you a little story. As I was reading through James McDonald's a booklet, and which was pretty good, and if you don't have it, you should probably go through it, and it would just refresh your memory on some of the things, and there's some other exercises in there and everything, so, and some questions to make you think about things. But as I was reading it, he talked about his son and a experience that his son had, and an attitude change or an attitude adjustment that he needed with his son in high school basketball. Well, it made me think about back in the day when horse and buggy, and I walked to school uphill both ways, right? I took a hot potato to keep my hands warm on the way to school, and then I ate it for lunch. You remember those days? Anyway, so back in the day when I was in junior high, when they actually had a junior high, it was 7th, 8th, and 9th, and then you'd go to high school, 10th, 11th, 12th. But I played football. I played football, believe that or not, and I was very, very fast. Very fast and very, very strong. And I played in every squad, and we went undefeated the year that I played. Well, the next year, went into the high school. And I thought, okay, I'm going to still do that. I'm still good. I'm still fast. I'm still strong. I'm a little heavier now, you know, and I'm, you know, all but 100 pounds or something like that. But you know what? You couldn't get through me if you wanted to. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you a story, okay? So anyway, the coach said something to me that upset me. And I got a very, very bad attitude about that. I had a choice. I had a choice to either conform or have a bad attitude. And I chose to have a bad attitude, and I quit. Now, those of you who know me, I don't quit. I have only ever quit one thing in my entire life, and that was it. And I still regret it for till this day, because if I would have stayed with it, I probably could have gotten a scholarship. Because not only did I do that, I played football, but I also ran track, and I was very good. I was number one on the team when I left Ben Franklin. So I could have really, my brother got a scholarship for track when he went in cross country, when he went down to West Virginia University. But anyway, I could have done the same thing, but I chose to quit. That was my attitude. And that was the wrong attitude. And it just brought, things flooded back to me. And it told, you know, my attitude determined my future. Because, you know, I ended up going to college, but it wasn't until I was in my 20s. I could have gone to college on a full load scholarship if I'd have stuck it out. But I didn't. So it determined, my attitude determined that. And what James McDonald, he took his son aside and told a similar story about basketball, and he told his son that attitude is everything. And what he said is, he said, work hard. Work hard and encourage others. That's a great attitude, right? And that's great advice from a father to a son. You know what? I wish I'd had somebody to take me by the ear and give me a speech about attitude adjustment when I was that age. Of course, you probably wouldn't have been able to get through me because I was a teenager and I knew everything there was to need to know, right? I mean, I knew everything, and many of the teenagers today do it. It says, work hard, encourage others, do your best. Do your absolute best. Set your eyes on the long-term goals. When I was there, I was not setting myself up for the long-term goals, was I? I wasn't looking to that. I'm going to get even with that coach, and I'm going to show him. I showed him, all right. They didn't need me. They did perfectly fine that year without me. Set your eyes on the long-term goals, and in time, you will be rewarded. This is that conversation that he was having with his son. You have so much to be thankful for. Attitude determines outcome. So having a good one will determine what direction you will go in. God will honor that in his time and in his way. Family, we live in a world that if you allow it, it will make you miserable. Amen? Amen? It will make you miserable. I mean, we can complain regardless of what the outcome is of this election coming up. We could be miserable or we could be happy. It's going to be whatever we determine. It doesn't make any difference who wins the election. It really doesn't, because who's ultimately in control is God, right? Okay, so we can be miserable, or we could just have the attitude with, you know what, whatever. You know, we're going to just go on. I'm going to work on, do my daily thing. I'm going to praise God still. But it will cause you to complain, criticize, covet, doubt, and rebel. But it doesn't have to be that way, because there are plenty of people out there and situations that generate thankfulness and love and faith, right? There are a lot of people out there that encourage and encourage you. Attitudes that cause life to flow with milk and honey. And that's the kind of person I want to be around, don't you? I want to be around that kind of person that has that attitude that, hey, you know what? Praise God. Praise God for whatever you're going through. Because you're going through it for a reason.
That's right.
And it may only be for a season, right?
Right.
It's a choice, and it's your choice. And it may be true that there are things in life that you can't control. Things like where you work. Sometimes you can't control that. Sometimes it's the only place you can get to work. Or where you live. Or the authorities in your life. Those are choices that sometimes you have no direct control over it. The only thing you can control and always control is the attitude that you have about it. The circumstance. Maybe you're not in the best job. Maybe you're not in the best relationship. Maybe you're not in the best, have the best boss. But guess what? It's your choice. You can make yourself miserable and stay out into the wilderness, or you can go to the promised land and have that great attitude towards it. We're going to take a look at a few things. Let's look at the truths about attitudes. First of all, I want to take a look at the attitude reveals the true person. Do you believe that? The attitude, your attitude, will reveal who you really are. In Matthew 15, verse 18, it says, "But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart." So everything that you say that comes out of your mouth is going to come out, really comes out of your heart. It determines who you are and what you say. That's your attitude. Jesus says your attitude reveals the person you truly are. You can look great on the outside and be a mess on the inside, right? I mean, I've seen a lot of people who are, man, they look the part. You are awesome. You are a great Christian. But what did Jesus say? He told the Pharisees, they were what? Like whited sepulchers. They were all white on the outside. Sepulchers where you were buried. They were all white and looked good, shiny. But what's inside? Dead men. It's bones inside, right? He didn't want that. He didn't want that at all. Told the Pharisees, that's not what it is. Family, God is not just interested in the soldier who looks the part, is he? He wants us to be the part. He looks on the heart because that's where the true person resides. We need a heart transformation is what we need. That requires us to work on our attitudes. Now, second, God is concerned about your attitude because it tells something about where you are headed. Just like the future. Where you're headed. Just like my future. When I was in ninth grade and going into 10th grade, I made a decision, an attitude decision, that possibly turned the direction of my whole life. And I probably didn't have to go through all the stuff that I went through and jump through all the hoops to try and pay for college and this and that. If I'd have just said, okay, I've got a good attitude about this, I am going to work hard and do what I need to do. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What you think about in your heart and what you say, that's what you are. So the things that you think about, and I'll tell you what, family, we need to start thinking about what we think about, right? Quit the imaginations and things like that. You cannot think in critical, negative, fault-finding, complaining ways without becoming that person. You can't. Man, you start complaining and start finding fault with everything and everybody and everything like that, you're going to eventually become that person. People say that you are what you eat. And that can be very true. But spiritually speaking, you are what you think. And if your heart is thinking the wrong things, man, you're in trouble. God is very concerned with our attitudes because you are what you think about. Your attitudes predict the future. And third, God focused upon heart attitudes because they are primarily vertical. Think about that. they are primarily vertical. In every passage we studied about attitudes, there is a phrase that links our attitudes to God. Think about some of them. Why have you done this against God? Why have you rejected the Lord your God? You know what? God considers our attitude directed against Him. And that's why He takes that so seriously. There's another murmuring recorded in Numbers 21. Now, 40 years after the wilderness rebellion, the children of those who died in the wilderness. Now remember, 40 years now, we're going into the future. This is chapter 21 of Numbers. The children of Israel have wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and that whole generation died. Never got to see the promised land, right? The whole thing. They were right on the edge. They were on the edge of the promised land. The children were now adults. They knew what had happened. They knew what they saw their fathers do and the complaining and the bad attitudes that their fathers had. They could have learned from their parents' mistakes. Any of you kids out here ever learn from your parents' mistakes? Has your parents ever said, just listen to me. You don't do that because when I did it when I was a kid, this happened to me. And then all of a sudden the kids say, that's not going to happen to me. That happened to you because you were stupid. Not going to happen to me. Well, yes, it will. And if you don't listen, it's probably going to happen even worse to you. Okay? So you got to be careful. Careful with that. They didn't learn from the mistakes, but they, and God dealt with them. Okay? The land of Edom was in their way, and they wanted to cut through there. Now, the Edomites wouldn't allow them to do that. And the Edomites were Saul's relations, okay? Remember Jacob and Esau? And Esau went one way. They became the Edomites. They're up there. And they wouldn't allow them to go through for whatever reason. So what did they do? They complained. I don't want to go around the Edomites. I want to cut through. It's a shortcut. It's easier for us to do this. We don't want to have to go all the way around. We've been in the wilderness too long. So Numbers 21, let's pick it up in Numbers chapter 21. We're going to pick it up on verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. What did I say? And the people spake against God, that vertical. And against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. What's this, more complaining? Are you kidding me? You're complaining? You're on the verge? You just spent 40 years in the wilderness. You watched your parents die. You didn't learn any lessons. And notice how God deals with them, their attitudes in the wilderness. Generation number 2, verse 6. He says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Ooh, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? I'll teach you to complain. I'll teach you. You know what? I kept you, you know, think about this. In the wilderness, the people, their clothes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They wore the same things for 40 years and they never wore out. I don't know how that happened. It's a God thing. They had manna that they walked out and picked up food all the time and they ate. And it was good food. And they had water. Always, always having the right things. Now, they complain. And God says, okay, well, I'll send you some fiery snakes. And fiery snakes actually mean snakes that produce a burning. The venom from these snakes would produce a burning in the body of the person who was bitten. Why does it always take something like that to turn us back? Take a look at verse 7. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now that's repentance. Now it took the fiery serpents, right, to come down. It took a little judgment to come down before they got on their knees and actually repented. Family, after 10 years or 10 weeks of hearing about attitudes, it seems like 10 years, doesn't it, to some of you? Have you come to a place where you just humbled yourself and said, God, that's why I've been so troubled. That's why I've been so discouraged. It's my attitude. The people of Israel couldn't get the grace that they needed without the sentence in verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned against you and against the Lord. The people wanted the serpents gone. Moses prayed, but God didn't remove the serpents. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Family, does that sound like life? When God puts something into our life and doesn't always just take it right back out, and we pray and we ask for forgiveness and stuff, and he just doesn't take it back out? Is God letting you feel the weight of all the garbage you created by not trusting him? God seldom removes the hard things in our lives that brought us to our knees. That's what brought you to your knees. I'm not going to take it out of your life. That would be crazy to do that. Instead, he gives us the grace and the strength to endure in daily doses and keep us at the place of dependence. You know, God sometimes just keeps us there and knows that, hey, you know what? As long as I keep this right on the edge and I give you the grace to endure it and the strength to endure it, then you'll always be on your knees before me. And I will give you little bits. You know, maybe it's a financial problem that you have. And you're sitting there saying, I don't know how I'm going to get tires for the bus. And all of a sudden he says, okay, wait a minute, I got a little bit of something for you. And all of a sudden something comes in. He always gives you the grace. God's not quick to take that off our shoulders because he knows no serpents, no sense of need. No sense of need, no coming to God. So we go to God and say, God, get that out of here. And God says, no, that's the thing that brought you to this moment. And that's the last thing I'm going to do and the last thing I'm going to take away. God seldom removes the serpents, but in his grace, he provides relief and healing from that effect. That's what he did for the repentant Israel. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, God provided a very simple remedy. If you got bitten, all you had to do is you looked up at this brass serpent and you would be healed. Choice is yours. There were people who didn't look at it. I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. And they died. But if you wanted the grace and if you wanted to live, you would look at that. In John chapter 3, and I want you to turn there. We're going to conclude with this. John chapter 3. We see that we are told that the serpent is a picture of Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 14 in chapter 3 of John. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In this chapter, we see that a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus searching for the truth. He came to Jesus and asked, "How does this all work? How does this salvation stuff work? What is going on?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How can I do that? How can I re-enter my mother's womb and then be born again when I'm old?" Jesus explains to him. And take a look at verse 15 and 16. "That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If we turn from our sin and look to Christ by faith as the only basis for forgiveness, we can have eternal life. Do you have assurance that your sins are forgiven? Just like the Israelites did with the bronze serpent on the pole, if you look to Christ, we can be healed of our sin. Family, this has not been about trying harder to have better attitudes. Christ is the answer. If you're not walking with him and having a personal relationship with him, then you will stay in the wilderness. A personal, intimate, daily walk with Christ is the only thing that can fuel the fire of your spiritual victory. If you don't have it, you won't experience it. Looking to Christ is the only way to walk with God. He alone can lead us out of the wilderness of our own murmuring attitudes and lead us into the joy and fullness of God's abiding presence. You know, there are some of you here this morning that are struggling. You're struggling with, "Well, I don't really know Jesus Christ as my Lord over my life." Would you all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed? Some of you this morning are just saying, "You know what? I'm not sure if I even know who he is. I know that this series, and I've been listening to this series about attitudes, and now my attitude really hasn't changed much, but you know what? I want it to." The only way that you're going to be able to be healed and out of the wilderness is to look at Jesus. Just like the Israelites had the opportunity to look at the brass serpent, and they were healed. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you've never prayed the sinner's prayer before, and you are here this morning and you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, if you want to just say, "Hey, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about, but I want whatever you have. Because, you know, maybe somebody came up and hugged me this morning. Maybe somebody, you know, just showed me a little love, and I want that. And I see a lot of happy people around here this morning, and I really want what they have." You know what? The only way you can get that, the only way that you can be healed, is to pray this prayer and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you'd like to do that, what I'd like you to do is, as I pray this prayer, I want you to pray it with me. "Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Did anybody pray that prayer with me this morning? Any show of hands? Amen. See those. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. 4 or 5 people. Awesome. All right. Any of you that would like to, if you'd like to see me afterwards, or if you want to talk to somebody, see me or Pastor Ron or some of the other people in the congregation, if you'd like to talk to them a little bit more about salvation and what maybe you just did, you know, they would love to open the Word of God and show you. For the rest of us who have had that relationship, and maybe you're out in the wilderness, maybe you're not, maybe you're worried about some things, maybe you're worried about the election, maybe you have some financial difficulties or some relational difficulties, maybe you're here and you want to join the church this morning, why don't you come down? Why don't you come down to the altar, and Steve will be up here, and if you'd like to join the church, come and talk to Steve, and Steve will show you what to do. And but just come and enjoy a peaceful moment while the musicians are playing at the altar at the feet of Jesus Christ. Won't you come? Faith and submission to you, Father, and to your authorities. God, may we always have the desire to look to Christ for all of our problems, for everything. The joy when we're in the promised land, to look towards Him with that thankful heart, and then when we're in the wilderness, and when you're teaching us, Father, when we don't have anything and we're all in despair, God, may we look towards you to be healed. Father, we love you so much, and we know that we are your children, that you would not do anything to us, that you don't know what's good for us. God, we love you so much, and we thank you, Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
As you prepare your offering, this whole course and study that we've had on attitudes has really been awesome, and it's affected me personally, and it also can affect our country. And I shared this with Pastor Joe this morning, and you know, we have a chance on Tuesday to go to the polls and vote for those that come closest to resemble the Word of God. And this week I found a prayer from Billy Graham, because attitudes are not just personal, it develops a country, because it's made up of leaders and people that change perspectives over the years. This is a prayer from Billy Graham about our country and its attitudes. And I'd like to share that with you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Woe to those who call evil good," but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from sin and set us free. Help change our attitudes. And we just pray that the leaders that come into office on Tuesday will start to get our values back to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys have a great Sunday this morning? Yes. Amen, amen. I want to let you guys know, starting next Saturday, we're going to be starting a new series called What is Church? God's been working on my heart on a lot of things and just defining what I do and why I do it and things. So I encourage you to come out for the next few weeks and hear what God's going to teach us. So let's all stand together and close with 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Amen. You're dismissed. Our meeting in about 5 minutes. For our members' business meeting in about 5 minutes.